Good evening, my friends. Good evening and welcome. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whale, and very excited to have you with us here tonight. It is Wednesday, May 2nd, 2007, about 11 p.m. here in the Central Time Zone. Welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org. And if you're over at our website, be aware that that is being brought to you courtesy of the generosity and hard work of one webmaster James. The guy does it all. And he does a fantastic job. So we certainly appreciate him and all that he does for us. Yes, so here we are, brand new day. We got a guest coming up here in just a few minutes, and I'm excited about chatting with him. The information that he's got is, well, it's extremely captivating to me. I've never heard it before, but maybe you have, maybe you've not. Either way, it's going to be an exciting program, so I'm looking forward to that. Be aware of our phone number, 800-313-9443, because you may want to interact with our guest. And, of course, we'll also do some news and some open lines, at least for a portion of the evening as well. So be cognizant of that and be aware of the phone number. So midweek, and it has been, I don't know, relatively on the warm side, I suppose. It's been in the mid to upper 60s, getting some rain, but not a crazy amount. So it's been good, certainly, for the plants and things like that. It's, I don't know, I think we're in for a doozy of a summer, certainly a very, very hot one. And the global warming issue is going to be brought up even more intensely when you start having things like more drought and extreme weather, lots of hail, lots of flooding, lots of tornadoes, and inevitably, hurricane season. I know nobody's looking forward to that, and I certainly am not either. I just been reading up on some of the insurance rates for a lot of these coastal communities, just incredibly out of control. I suppose you can expect something like that, and you look at how they sort of fought against all of the insurance claims that came out after Katrina and Rita, and certainly that horrific 2004-2005 hurricane season, because both years were bad, you may recall. 2004 mostly hit Florida. I think, what, four hurricanes, five times? The one doubled back. So it was a very, very intense year. 2005 certainly topped it. In 2006, we were all sort of waiting with bated breath to see how that was going to pan out, and it looked to be relatively unspectacular, thank God, which is great. But, you know, in the aftermath of some of these hurricanes, of course, inevitably, you know, there's a lot of people who didn't make it. We had some people on our morning show called in who were down there in Florida doing some work, and they were talking about a lot of the bodies they were still recovering in Florida in 2004 who were just buried in the sand on the beaches. I mean, certainly keeping a lot of that stuff under wraps, and we certainly saw that in Katrina as well. We exposed some of that on the show. But when you start looking at the insurance industry, and you know, there's something inherently wrong with that anyway. You pay exorbitant amounts of money on a regular basis, okay? Have to do that. But when it comes time to make your claim, well, then they're going to dispute it. They'll say, well, you know, you did have hurricane damage, but it wasn't the hurricane that trashed your house. It was floodwaters. So you didn't have flood insurance. Or, you know, it was the wind itself, but not the water. So therefore, you know, you're not covered under your policy. A lot of people are getting ripped off. And at some point, my friends, there's going to have to be a reckoning, okay? At some point, things are going to have to get set straight, and who knows exactly what will facilitate that. But I think the main thing, and I talked to somebody the other day, and they said, you know, people are really starting to wake up. And I said, yeah, that's true. But it's vital that we stress to those people who are relatively new to this whole stuff that a change in leadership, a change in political party is not going to solve the problems at all. That's not the solution. Okay, they're just you know, winking and nodding and exchanging power, but it's the same agenda that never changes. So there has to be something else, something more. Anyway, stay with us, folks. We'll be back in 3 minutes. We'll have our guests with us and more Frankly Speaking Radio. Please stay with us. Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to
bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Welcome back, my friends. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Well, and I am thrilled that you're with us. As I mentioned, our guest tonight, some incredible information. Just in theory alone, it's captivating. I can't wait to dive into the material now. As I'd mentioned, I'd never heard this type of theory before, but apparently it's extraordinarily well-researched, and you can go to the website and follow along if you'd like. It's www.fixedearth.com. And our guest is the author of the book, The Earth is Not Moving. Well, that should give you a nice little whet your appetite to see what you're going to get into here tonight. Please welcome to the program, folks, the author of the book, Marshall Hall. Thank you for your time, sir.
You're welcome, Frank. Glad to be here.
I'm very excited to have you here, my friend, because like I had said to you when we talked a few times, you know, I walk into this studio every single day with you know, certainly more than a few beliefs in place. But I always walk in the door with the ability to have those completely shattered and rebuilt with the right evidence and the right information, something to set me down the trail of investigation. And I love that. And that's one of the reasons why I do the show in this fashion. I like to learn new things. I like to shake up the paradigm and find out what else is going on out there. And certainly what you have to say here, it's extremely captivating. And one of the things that really resonated with me when we had our talk was you had told me, you said, look, if somebody had told me this, you know, years ago, I wouldn't have believed it either, which indicates to me that you weren't going into this with a sort of preset idea of what you'd find. You simply went in there and did the work and came to your conclusions based on that.
Exactly. I had no idea that there could ever be anything down that path, but there it was.
Mm.
When you and I talked a little bit on the phone earlier, and I read some of your articles, incidentally, on and I thought they were really well written and certainly gave the credit to the Lord and so on.
Oh, amen.
And I think I mentioned at that time that since this is a a topic that just seems to be almost totally off the wall to about everybody in the world, since mm-hmm. it's been building up for 4.5 centuries since Copernicus. But a lot of your folks, I'm sure, are not adverse to hearing what the Bible has to say. Not that we want to start there or prove anything by what the Bible says mm-hmm. or anything about that, but just simply what does the Bible say relevant to whether the earth is moving or whether it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's a good place to start? Or you
I think that's a fantastic place to start, but we should probably just say this, that obviously, as the title of the book indicates, the theory here is that the earth doesn't move, indicating what then? That the earth is stationary and everything else moves around it.
Exactly.
Okay.
No rotation, no orbiting the sun, stationary, immovable. You get everything that goes on in the space program or with the solar eclipses or anything like that are all explained by a non-moving Earth. And
wow.
That really, the mathematics from that are the only ones that work.
Wow. This is very exciting. I'm looking forward to this discussion. Well, let's start with the Bible, because I've read the Bible, obviously. I don't have it memorized like a lot of people do, and I'm certainly trying to get more familiar with various things. But there's so much content in there, and so often when I'm reading it, I'm reading it from a personal point of view, indicating that I'm looking for some information relevant to whatever I'm going through at the time. Certainly there are bigger issues, bigger concepts to go through, but I don't recall anything offhand that talks specifically about the Earth being the center of the universe, rotating, not rotating, orbiting, not orbiting. So, yeah, I would love to start there.
All right, well, one thing I might be a good, because everybody's familiar with this, I'm pretty sure, in the very first, on the very first page of the Bible, we find the creation of the earth and the other things, and man, ultimately, on the fourth day, the sun, the moon, and the stars were created,
mm-hmm.
right? It was the fourth day of the evening and morning creation that the sun, the moon, and the stars were created. So there was no sun to go around mm-hmm. for 4 days, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
That's for free there. The scriptures I have a link to on my webpage, you gave that address out. If you go to the very bottom of the page, you'll see subject areas. There are 12 of them, and number 8, why there's one that says 67 scriptural references which tell us that it is the sun and not the earth that moves.
Mm-hmm.
Am I coming through all right?
Oh, yeah. Sounds good.
Okay. And I'm not going to read all of these, but I will tell you that there are, I'll read one here and there, but in Genesis there are 5 listings. And when the sun was going down, when the sun went down, the sun was risen upon the earth because the earth was set, because the sun was set, and the sun rose. That's Genesis. In Exodus there are 3. In Leviticus, and when the sun is down, in Numbers, toward the rising of the sun. Deuteronomy looks like a half a dozen. And the way where the sun goes down, of course, the King James Version, which I use, and says it goeth down and all that. I've changed that a little bit.
Hmm.
Joshua, the going down of the sun, as soon as the sun was down, and the crowning one, which was really used more than any other in the 16th century when Copernicus came out with his mathematical model,
mm-hmm.
which is all the evidence there's ever been is a mathematical model, was sun stand thou still upon Gibeon, and the sun stood still. And in Judges there are 5, and 2 Samuel about 3, the sun went down when the sun rises. 1 Kings, the going down of the sun. 1 Chronicles 16:30 says, the world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. 2 Chronicles times the sun going down. And Job 9:7 said, command the sun, and it rises not. Mm. Job 26:7, he hangs the earth upon nothing. We're talking about the tabernacle of the sun in Psalm 19:4. Mm. That runs for several verses. The tabernacle for the sun, it comes like a comes up to run like a and goes forth in a circle from one end of heaven to another. We're talking about the sun going and not the earth, of course. And Ecclesiastes, the sun also arises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where he arose. And the dial in Isaiah, there are quite a few, maybe 8 or 10. You perhaps recall reading about the sundial of Ahaz, and the sun is going down on the sundial of Ahaz, and the sun returned, and the rising of the sun, and so on. Jeremiah, couple Daniel going down to the sun, Amos, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. The sun and the moon stood still in their habitation. We all agree, I think, that the moon moves. And there are several things in the word grammatically that tie the sun and the moon together, showing that they both move. See, they both can't move. It can't be the earth moving and the sun moving. It has to be one or the other. Hmm. And the whole world believes, of course, that it's, the earth is moved.
Yeah.
And Matthew, Mark, Luke, Ephesians, James, 67 in all. And there are probably others. I probably missed a few. Does that give you some idea? Or?
Yeah, gives me quite a bit. And I think that is intriguing, too, to think of it in that fashion. So often we hear about how science is proving things that have been written about in the Bible. And I find that to be extremely interesting as well, because you're right. We don't call it the earth set. We call it a sunset, you know, indicating that as those numerous scriptures you were sourcing, for the most part, we're talking about the sun moving, which, again, it does appear to move. Even if you think that the earth itself is moving, it does appear that the sun is moving. And that's explained away by saying that, you know, obviously, that the sun is the center of the universe and we all revolve around that. Now, how is it that this could not be proven beyond a mathematical model at this point in human history?
Well, the proof, so-called, it's nothing but assumption. If you, as you just mentioned, if you go out and watch the sun or the moon, it goes. You see it go from east to west, and arise in the east, set in the west. But of course, we're told that that's just an illusion, that it looks that way because we're rotating out from under it, turning as we go. And it just looks that way. But the word science, the Latin for the word, root for the word science is S-C-I-R-E, sire, which means to know. It doesn't mean to assume or theorize or hypothesize, but to know. So if you can't, you know, you can argue down that line that if you can't trust what you can see and you accept an illusion, an assumption, that it's wrong because of the other thing. Mm-hmm. We also know that, like, the moon moves, but in this mathematical model of Copernicus, 1543, he had a book on it, and they handed him his book. He died that same day, seriously enough.
Let me jump in here quickly, Marshall. We have a short commercial break to deal with. Folks, please stay with us. We're back in only 3 minutes with a special guest tonight. His name is Marshall Hall. The website, www.fixedearth.com. Author of the book, The Earth Is Not Moving. Stay with us.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. I'm thrilled you're with us. Again, our guest is the author of this book. It's entitled The Earth Is Not Moving. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. Marshall Hall, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you very much. When we left off, you were just talking about Copernicus giving back his book, and then we had to interrupt you, so please continue.
Well, you interrupt me if you think, you know your audience. I'm just an old man. You can call me Gramps if you want to. I saw your biography. You're, 30 years old or something?
32, yes.
Yeah. Well, I've got grandkids almost that old. I may drift in a way that you see is not working too well, but just interrupt me. I can go 10 or 15 different ways here. It doesn't matter.
Well, thank you.
I was thinking about the moon. We know it moves. And the Copernican model, in order to make the solar eclipse thing come out right,
mm-hmm.
which it has to do. I mean, it's very, very precise, as you probably know,
mm-hmm.
and was pretty darn precise before Copernicus ever came up, and the whole world believed that the Earth didn't move
mm-hmm.
forever, you know, up
yeah.
until... So, but that isn't exactly true. There was a Aristarchus 3 centuries before Christ who had the same idea, and Copernicus actually plagiarized that, and he said so in his first page of his book, but they took that out.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, the moon moves. Now, I don't know if you watch it much or pay any attention to it, because some of your listeners do, I'm sure, right tonight, I believe, is a full moon or the next one to it. Beautiful here in northeast Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And that moon comes up in the east, just like the sun, and goes to the west. That's what we see, but of course that is not what's happening according to the method the whole world has learned. It's because the Earth's rotating, it just looks like that. It's really going the other way.
Mm-hmm.
They had to change the direction of the moon, not just slow it down or anything, but change the actual direction to make it go the other way in the mathematical model mm-hmm. in order for the solar eclipse to work and mm-hmm. the phases and so on. But even today, and I've got a page in the book from the source on this, all eclipse calculations are made from a non-moving Earth. So that's probably the most precise mathematical calculations to do.
That's astounding.
It is astounding. You'll see the pages in the book. The other thing that I'm reminded of along this line is that you have some idea probably of the speed of a rifle bullet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm told that it's about 2,000 miles an hour, depending on the gun or whatever. Any idea how fast the Earth would have to be going if it's going around the sun, as we all are taught that it is?
No idea.
7,000 miles an hour. That's about 33 times rifle bullet speed. You'd think it would flap your collar or something. But and then that's just getting warmed up. Supposedly we're going 500,000 miles an hour, 250 times rifle bullet speed around a galaxy. And even that's not the end of it. Supposedly from the Big Bang going out like shrapnel at about 660 million miles an hour.
Wow.
So we're moving on there, according to that idea. everybody believed in an ether until Einstein erased it on his blackboard, and so we don't have any ether. But if there was an ether, he had to erase it because that would cause friction and it would just blow the trees off, you know. But he took care of that. You can't have it both ways. It's either moving or it isn't. The Bible says plainly that the Earth is not moving. That's the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're getting some of the ideas about what science says, and we're seeing that. And I believe you will see on my webpage, I've got an equivalent of 3 or 4 books on there, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's quite.
So it's not like we're charging for anything here, really. If you want to get the book, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the third printing. I hope it does more, of course. But where was I going with that?
Well, if you don't mind, I'll jump in here
and
make some comments, because this is amazing stuff. Now, obviously, it would seem that the mathematics, you know, like you said, for the most part, assumes that this is not the case, that we do not move. In which case, you'd say, well, how can that be accurate if it's based on false pretenses? So, taking that in stride and then going from there, you'd have to say, well, why is it, and this is something we'll have to answer after this next break, why is it that nobody's really challenged this in modern times? Hold on a second, folks. Back in 3.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Hey America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
'Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan. Very excited you're here. Amazing stuff from our guest tonight. Again, the website, fixedearth.com. That's FIXEDEARTH.com, fixedearth.com. And the book is entitled The Earth Is Not Moving, well over 300 pages, available through the website there. And its author is with us here tonight, Marshall Hall. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you again.
Oh, thank you. I'm really enjoying this. When we left off, what I was sort of asking you was, if modern science, you know, in mathematics and physicists and all these people have a presupposed mathematical model by which they're able to predict solar eclipses and whatnot, meaning that the Earth is stationary in these models. Well, that, I mean, that's ridiculous for them to even think that it could possibly be moving, and yet that mathematical model can be accurate. So what I'm asking you here is why has this never been challenged since it became accepted? And I don't even know about when it became the official version of events.
Well, it was launched in 1543.
Mm-hmm.
It took a while to catch on, and as we go along here, I don't know how much time we have, but
You take all the time you need, my friend. We've got it here tonight. It's a four-hour show.
Oh,
you're here at the beginning of it. So as long as you're as long as you're raring to go, we can keep it going.
Oh, great. Well, I no challenge. It was challenged wide open as soon as it came out, chiefly by Martin Luther,
mm-hmm.
Who had just, you know, not that many years before, 1517, posted his 95 theses on the Wittenberg University wall there and separated the Protestant from the Catholic. So he just said it was crazy,
mm-hmm.
What Copernicus had done. And the early preachers agreed with him.
Mm-hmm.
And the Protestant side and the Catholic side was pretty quiet there for quite a while. By 1616, they had a cardinal who challenged Galileo, and it's quite a famous trial and stuff, and Galileo lost. I won't get into all that, but there's Kepler. You've heard probably of Kepler. And in the book, I show... I found some really interesting stuff on his background, like his witchcraft. His mother was brought up on 49 counts of witchcraft.
Oh.
And the family, they drank out of his father's skull that they had silvered. And,
wow.
And Kepler was a wild dude, but he was also ordained in the Lutheran Church, but they wouldn't let him preach. They wouldn't let him give communion.
Hmm.
And so on. So he's one of the kingpins in launching this thing. He wrote a book where during an eclipse, demons went to the moon in the shadows there, and they went there to prove that the earth was moving, you know, so they could watch it and stuff.
Wow.
Pretty far out. In any case, you go on down through the 17th century there, in mid-17th, the churches began to waffle a good bit. And because this was science, you know, I mean, it seemed like they had something there. And you come to Newton in 1687, he published his famous book, and that was sort of a benchmark in the change that you asked about. Well, the challenges didn't stop after that, but they slowed down a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So people are thinking, well, sciences, the universities were jumping on it big time, and it was just filtering down into the churches and mm-hmm. culture in general. The Bible, of course, says in 1 Timothy 6, the last couple of verses, I've got it open here. It says, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babbling, and opposition of science falsely so-called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith." So that even when that was written in the first century, why science was, false science was causing trouble.
Wow.
With the scriptures.
Yeah.
Well, so come on out past Newton and then through the 1700s, Darwin's grandfather, Erasmus Darwin, was coming up with the ape-man theory.
Mm-hmm.
The French encyclopedias and Voltaire and others were, they were just getting away from the Bible. You know? And in the French Revolution, they actually banned the Bible.
Oh, wow.
So anybody that thinks this idea doesn't affect the Bible, who cares, it doesn't make any difference, needs to rethink that, because mm-hmm. it torpedoes the Bible right in the midship.
That's fascinating. So in essence, it just became popular theory and inevitably scientific fact just by sort of the saturation of the idea out there, people writing about it, different universities, of course, trying to be quote unquote progressive and saying, oh, this is the new science. Let's jump on this. It's pretty amazing because really, when you think about it, Marshall, excuse me, things haven't really changed that much.
Tell me about it. The longer you go to school, the more certain it is that you're going to believe in evolution. We're coming to evolution in all this. It isn't just burning a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you come into the 18th century, 1830, there about Charles Lyell, a lawyer, came up with his geologic column. You go down so far, and that's how old things are, and further in the rocks, you know, and so on. Mm-hmm. That was his idea. Uniformitarianism called. Darwin read that. He went on his voyage and wrote his stuff up. And he kind of held onto it. He didn't publish it much, but another man in Indonesia named Wallace had written the same thing. He sent it into the Royal Society in London, and somebody said, Darwin, you better get your book out here because this guy's saying the same thing. And so he did. They printed 12,000 copies. They sold out the first day.
Wow.
This is in horse and buggy days, of course.
Yeah.
So that was a prearranged deal. Newton's book was sold out early on, too, an arranged deal. But what I'm trying to say here, I think, is we escalated from astronomical science and mathematical science now to biological science.
Yes.
Right? So when Darwin came in 1859, I mean, he had a kind of a sensation there with his book, because it had been building up. His grandfather, as I said, a long time before, had an eight-man theory.
Mm-hmm.
But Karl Marx was going nowhere fast with his communism stuff. But when he read Darwin's book, he wrote to him and said, you've given me the basis for my theory and all that. So we had the social sciences then picked up on it. We got physical sciences, natural sciences, social sciences. Sigmund Freud came along, based all of his psychology, behavioral science on evolution.
Wow.
And, of course, Copernicanism. But by then they quit even talking about that. That was just accepted. Darwin's German bulldog, Ernst Haeckel, he said that. He said, you know, we don't talk about that anymore. They're moving.
Mm-hmm.
And now we got through Darwin, we know that we've got the biological sciences on our side, and now mm-hmm. the social sciences, the behavioral sciences, and education came in big time with a man named Dewey, John Dewey, mm-hmm. early 1900s, all of his stuff was used in teachers' colleges, and so teachers picked it up. And you heard of the monkey trial, 1925, there in Dayton, Tennessee, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So it just became the root of all knowledge. We've got, if I may, I'll say this quickly. How far back can you go to get the foundation or the root or the basis of knowledge?
Mm-hmm.
It starts at the beginning, and the beginning is, where did everything that exists come from?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
So that's the beginning. So now the world you and I are living in presently has two ideas on that, and one of them is moribund. One of them is dying. One of them is being killed daily in the schools and everything else by this science, falsely so-called, I dare say. So we have the idea that we have billions of years of evolution, or we have the creation in Genesis,
mm-hmm.
evening and morning, 6 days. Well, almost everybody thinks, well, you know, evolution's been proven, so this other thing's ridiculous, 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the God I believe in has the resources to do it.
Yeah.
6 days, and that's what he's saying. and he spelled it out carefully so there wouldn't be any question about stretching how long those days were.
Well, yeah, that's true. You know, but it also says in Scripture, you know, that a thousand years is like a day, and a day is like a thousand years, you know, to God. So, I mean, I don't know. I guess I've always been open to the idea that it's written exactly as it happened. But then again, you know, there's always going to be human doubts and things crop up and people say, well, you know, maybe it's translated incorrectly, or maybe this particular version isn't as accurate as it could be, or maybe in English it doesn't, it's not as precise as it would be had it been in Greek, and so on and so forth. There's all these little doubts and things that crop up in people's minds. But what I found, and you know, no offense intended to you or to anybody, but what I found is that all the science-based, godless theories that are out there that say, like, oh, the Big Bang. It's always been my opinion that who says that the Big Bang wasn't, you know, God's work? You know, something had to cause all these things. So even if you say it absolutely did start with the Big Bang, so what? You know, that doesn't bother me, because I don't think that it's mutually exclusive. The point is that, you know, all of the scientists would say this is how it began. And my impression is, well, somebody had to begin it. So to me, it's never been an issue of faith only or science only. To me, I always figured that the two would reconcile at some level. So I think that's, you know, that's the main point here, is that I've you can see through all of your research and what you've laid on us here in the last 45 minutes that there's been a steady attempt to cut God out of science in that one issue, such as, of course, the idea of a fixed Earth versus a revolving and orbiting Earth. Once they had their foothold, then everything springboarded off of that, and each individual innovation in the realm of science has sought to remove God from the equation completely and totally, which I, you know, I would never do on a personal level. For me, my beliefs are my beliefs, and but you can see that societal engineering is gearing us towards that godless society mindset. I mean, it's incredible.
Well, I'm glad you went that direction, because if I'm permitted to, and you can cut me off.
No, please.
Whenever you want to. But I think I will be able to give you hard documentation that will impress you as being true, mm-hmm. and it will affect the Big Bang and all of that.
Oh, great.
We don't have to compromise. We don't have to compromise.
Okay.
But you may have something coming up. You want to start into a couple?
Yeah, you can get started. We have a break coming up in about 3 minutes, but we can go, you know, further down the road.
Lay out the thing. I think I've mentioned this on the phone as well, just recently, and I won't get into how recently. I had a bill that was come up in the Georgia House of Legislature,
mm-hmm.
and it blew up in Texas. First, the legislature is there, and in that bill is documentation showing how the Supreme Court and other lower courts in different states have handled the challenges to evolution in the past.
Mm-hmm.
There have been a lot of them. Maybe you know about those. Maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I'll give you some statistics as to how many and whatever.
Okay.
We'll see how the courts ruled and why they ruled as they did, and it will affect what you were saying there head on, and we'll see why where the Big Bang really comes from.
Mm.
And I think that certainly spoke to me, and I think it spoke to a lot of people when this thing blew up out there in Texas in February.
Mm. So this was just recently then?
Yeah, just in February. Mm-hmm.
So the challenge, of course, is teaching evolution, or is it intelligent design, or is the challenge, what is the purpose of these legal challenges? Is it to avoid any sort of mention of intelligent design or creationism?
The way it's been approached by the people making the challenges is, let us have equal time for what they've called creation science or intelligent design recently.
Mm-hmm.
And you can teach evolution, just to make it balance like that.
Sure.
And I was in this right to the Supreme Court in the 80s, and so it won't work. It didn't work then. It won't work now. It's even now that it won't work after the Dover thing in Pennsylvania in 2005. So they're always going to beat that because the key thing is creation science or intelligent design, the courts say, is religion.
Mm-hmm.
It's religion. And the Constitution of the United States First Amendment with the Establishment Clause says you cannot fund with taxpayers' money anything that promotes their religion. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting, and I know they would use that. I see that a little differently. I think that endorsement of a religion is completely different than the endorsement of God. Religion, of course, is a series of groups, and they, you know, the different denominations and the different rituals and whatnot. Religion is completely different than faith, and I think that's something that maybe needs to be brought up in some of these cases. But this is incredible stuff, Marshall. I'm really looking forward to seeing where it ends up. Folks, please stay with us. We have a short commercial break here of only 3 minutes, then we'll be back with our special guest, Marshall Hall, and you can check out the website there, fixedearth.com. Stay with us.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com or call 312-224-2710, 312-224-2710.
Welcome back Glad you're here, my friends. Tail end of the first hour here in the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. This hour, of course, being brought to you by our good friends down at the Howard Creek Resort, featuring 9 fully equipped individual housekeeping cabins and easy access to a multitude of recreational activities as only the natural state can offer you. Howard Creek Resort is the perfect family vacation spot any time of the year. You can visit them on the web at www.howardcreek.com or call them toll-free at 877-253-7690. Great people down there. Great, beautiful location on Bull Shoals Lake in Arkansas. Just love it there. Yes, my friends, as I mentioned, we're at the end of the first hour already. But feel free, of course, to jump in here with your calls and your questions. 800-313-9443. Toll free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. We are talking about the world, the Earth, in fact. The author of the book, The Earth Is Not Moving, Marshall Hall, is joining us. Welcome back, sir.
All right.
Thank you very much. A captivating first hour. I'm looking forward to continuing down this road. Now, when we left off, we were talking about some of the legislative challenges to the evolution versus creation versus intelligent design.
Right. The bill that the representative here was going to introduce, and he's introduced bills for 10 years of the kind that have always been defeated in the court.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was different. In that it couldn't be shot down by the Establishment Clause. I might say that the links of this are on my website, and subject area 6.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can feel free to copy them. There are 3 parts to this bill. The first one's just a page and a half or something, and the second one is 5 or 6 pages, and the third one isn't really necessary, but it's additional evidence of about 10 pages if anybody wants it. And what was in the bill, I won't read these cases, but it's just Selman versus Cobb County School District,
mm-hmm.
a decision by Clarence Cooper, United States District Judge, January 13, 2005, that kind of thing down through here. But in his decision, the challenge was over a sticker that was being put in the science books saying
yes.
That evolution is not a fact and you need to know that, something like that.
Mm-hmm. So I remember that.
That was being challenged by a man named Selman, and the judge ruled that it violated the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment as incorporated in the 14th Amendment. The speaker has also said the Constitution of the State of Georgia is violating that as well as the United States Constitution. The Georgia's statement, Constitution said, no money shall ever be taken from the public treasury directly or indirectly in aid of any church, sect, cult, or religious denomination or of any sectarian institution. I could go on with McLean versus Arkansas, Kitzmiller versus the Dover Area School District in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of these have underlined that the decision violates the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment, finding the Louisiana Act unconstitutional.
Marshall, I'm sorry. Let me interrupt you here for a brief commercial. Folks, we have to pause for a station identification. But it's only 90 seconds, then we'll be back with hour number 2 and our special guest tonight, Marshall Hall, and of course, more Frankly Speaking Radio. Please stay with us. With